Also, as the world continues to deal with the impact of COVID-19, it's taking a mental toll on many. And tonight's South Dakota Focus host Stephanie Rissler and mental health experts will take a closer look at the mental health struggles many are dealing with. You can submit your questions by text for tonight's South Dakota Focus to 956-7372, or you can email SDFocus at SDPBTV. That's tonight at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. And now Seth Tupper is with us, SDPB Seth Tupper, who's going to give us an update on the Black Hills National Forest at a crossroads. We talked about this a little bit last week, and Seth was able to attend virtually the meeting and the conversation about where that situation is at. And he's joining us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's downtown Rapid City space. Seth, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Give us a quick update for people who missed that conversation last week about how this meeting was held and why it was being held.
Yeah, so it was last Friday. It was supposed to be in the Black Hills National Forest headquarters in Custer, but of course, because of coronavirus, that couldn't happen. So they had it by teleconference. You could call into a number, and you also could watch a presentation screen at the same time. And there was a little number that showed the number of people I saw at one time. About 175 people were called in. So that's an indication of how important this is and how many people are interested in it. But the reason the meeting was held was because, you know, we of course had the mountain pine beetle epidemic in the Black Hills from 1998 to 2016. We've also been through a period of larger and more frequent wildfires. The three largest wildfires in the recorded history of the Black Hills have all been in the past 20 years. And so the beetles and the fires have killed millions of trees in the last couple of decades. And yet the Black Hills National Forest is still producing more timber by volume than any other national forest in the country. And so we're at a place now where people are asking, is that sustainable? Should we reduce the amount of logging that's being done? And they had this meeting because in the past couple of years, the Forest Service has sped up an analysis of trying to figure out how many trees are there out there in the forest. And they did an analysis using ground plots and aerial imagery and a lot of math and estimated the volume of trees in the forest. And that data is out, and they presented it at this meeting and took some comments from some of the interested parties.
All right, a lot of information here and some emotion as well in the meeting. So we're going to go, Seth has brought some audio from that meeting for folks to listen to. And let's just get started at the top and go through some of these voices so we can hear as many as possible. Tell us first what the Forest Service had to say.
Yeah, so Andrew Johnson, he is the acting supervisor of the Black Hills National Forest, and he basically framed the debate before they got started, and here's what he had to say.
So, as most of you know, the Black Hills National Forest has the longest history of timber management and partnership between stakeholders like industry and the Forest Service of any national forest in the system, starting with the Case 1 timber sale. Case 1, when the Gifford Pinchot collaborated with industry to craft the first timber sale for the Forest Service, more importantly, initiated a relationship with industry to sustainably manage the timber of the Black Hills. Case 1 changed the course of management of the Black Hills from unsustainable and unregulated harvest to management informed by science. Our management has evolved over time, but is still and must still be informed and guided by science.
And I should jump in and say he mentioned Case 1. That was the, in 1899, an agreement between the Homestake Gold Mine and the Department of Interior that became the first timber sale in what we now call the National Forest System. And then he mentioned Gifford Pinchot, who was the first chief of the U.S. Forest Service, who was instrumental in that agreement. So
a lot of history here. Yeah. What else from the Forest Service before we hear some of these other voices of environmentalists and conservationists? Forest Service voices next.
So after they set the debate up a little bit, they had Mike Battaglia. He's a research forester from the Forest Service office in Fort Collins, Colorado, and he revealed some of the research that they've been working hard to produce.
So let's start with the scenarios. So scenario one, the worst case scenario, this is the scenario that shows high mortality rates throughout the scenario, and we start with the 2019 harvest levels. And that's here shown in this red line. And this is what we see is if we continue harvest levels at 153,000 CCF, we've run out of saw timber within the next 34 years.
And so, yeah, to unpack that a little bit, you heard that mention of CCF. That's a unit of volume that's equal to 100 cubic feet. I've had a forester explain that to me. If you imagine a cord of firewood that's 8 feet long, 4 feet high, and 4 feet wide, one CCF would be a little bit less than that. And so 153,000 CCF is what they harvested last year.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's a that's the number they're working on. But he says that if they kept harvesting timber at that pace, they could deplete the forest of saw timber in 34 years. And that's an important point. They're not saying they're going to run out of trees, but they're saying that they could deplete the forest of saw timber, which is a particular tree that's at least 9 inches in diameter, basically at the height of a person's chest, that's suitable for logging. So,
which essentially means everything grinds to a halt at that point.
For the timber industry, yep.
For the timber industry, right. Okay.
And other consequences could flow out of that, obviously. If we don't have timber, we have a dense forest and other consequences there as well, which we can get into.
All right. Conservationists, they showed up to be heard as well.
Yeah, and so the Forest Service is pretty good about this. They have a group out here called the Black Hills National Forest Advisory Committee, where they get stakeholders around the table from all the different groups, and a lot of those people participated in this meeting. And they didn't really, the environmentalist conservation groups didn't really call for a certain number, a harvest number, but they did express their concerns. And this audio is a little rough. Obviously, it depends on the quality of a person's phone connection. But one of the people who commented was Bob Burns. He's the president of the Norbeck Society here in the Black Hills, which advocates for the sustainable use of public lands.
The annual volume of timber sold must be reduced. We must return to our roots and let the Forest Service use science and true partnership with the timber industry. The annual volume sold needs to be at a level that can be sustained into perpetuity.
So these people are saying, we have this new data, and this is what it clearly says. Let's take action now. Do I understand that fairly clearly, or is it more nuanced than that?
No, that's it. I mean, they're saying that we need to reduce logging levels significantly in the Black Hills in order to, sustain the timber into perpetuity. And it wasn't just environmentalists and conservationists. It was also there was a retired Forest Service employee, Dave Mertz, who said he spoke for a lot of other Forest Service retirees who are concerned about what's happening in the Black Hills. And here's a little of what he had to say.
We're cutting down our future. Why did we do it? Why did we do it now? To meet the timber target.
And that was a little rough, but he said we're cutting down our future. And when he said we're doing it because of timber targets, and what he means by that is there's an allowable sale quantity that was set many years ago for the Black Hills National Forest for the amount of timber that's sold out of the forest. And he says that Forest Service employees feel a lot of pressure to keep timber harvest near that target, and that's what's kept the harvest at a high level, even though foresters within the Forest Service know that the resource is being somewhat depleted or is in danger of being depleted over time.
All right. And voices from the timber industry, what did those people have to say?
Yeah, so there were a lot of people on the call from the timber industry and, people whose livelihoods depend on logging or building roads for loggers or servicing the timber industry in some way. And one of those people was Jeff Parrott. He's the senior business development manager for Wheeler Lumber in Whitewood, just up the road from Rapid City here. And they do work with timber, including timber bridge manufacturing. And he talked a little bit about how crucial the timber industry is to the Black Hills economy.
There's over 1,400 people that work in the forest products industry here in the Black Hills, and hundreds of millions of dollars go back into our local economy. We don't want to see that another company fail, and as we know it now, that could crush the economy here in the Black Hills, not unlike what's happening with this pandemic right now.
Yeah, important context there.
Yeah, and then there was Tim Danley. He's a vice president of Forest Products Distributors in Rapid City. They do posts and heating pellets, and they do some logging and road building, he said. And he was more passionate and put a sharper point on what Jeff Parrott was talking about. And here's what Tim Danley said.
Forest products companies are not the enemy. We are a major tool that the Black Hills National Forest has in maintaining a healthy forest for over hundreds of years.
And in summary, so the forest groups out here, or the forest businesses, the timber businesses, have an association called the Black Hills Forest Resource Association. And they have an executive director, Ben Woodke, who kind of drew all this together and argued that in the absence of uncontrolled wildfires, which used to manage the forest before Europeans came along and started suppressing wildfires, that in the absence of that, we need logging to basically manage the forest. And he said that if we don't have enough logging, we'll get in trouble ecologically. Here's what he said.
In conclusion, just as the Black Hills found themselves at a crossroads in the late 70s following the previous mountain pine beetle epidemic, we're at another crossroads now, and we have a choice. We can continue to manage the forest in an effort to reduce our risk of mountain pine beetles and catastrophic wildfires, or we can make the choice to grow it back to the place that promulgated these very events that we've been seeing, the mountain pine beetle epidemics and wildfires that risk loss of life and property. We do have a choice in all of this, and I hope that we can make the right choice out of this.
And when he says, you know, grow it back to the way it was, and the problems he's talking about, you know, a dense forest, which is, you know, is right. Bad. It can fuel wildfires, and also is believed to, you know, beetles are believed to thrive on a dense forest.
All right. So is the data and the new research having more information than ever before helping this conversation in its clarity, or are the facts still in doubt, depending on which side of the aisle you're on here?
It's the latter. Yeah. So the Forest Service and some of the environmental conservation groups, the retired foresters, they all said, hey, we have the data. This is not the time to debate the data. The data's in. Now it's time to take action and make decisions. But the timber industry groups, those that you just heard from, they took issue with some of the data and questioned whether it was accurate. And they poked some holes in it here and there and found what they thought were some mistakes on the data. They disputed what's called the suitable base for timber harvest, which is not all the forest is considered suitable for logging. Only a certain amount of acres are, and they believe that that acreage is too small. And so going forward, it'll be interesting to see how that takes shape, how they continue to try to poke holes in that data, and if we get stuck on analyzing the data, or if there's some further discussion and action going forward.
All right. All right, Seth Tupper, keep us posted. Thanks so much for your help.
You're welcome.